Mad Radio, good morning. Into the 7 o'clock hour on Sports Radio 610. Brian Gaine, reportedly the Texans' next choice to be their third general manager, Charlie Casserly, Rick Smith, and now Brian Gaine. I came with a list of a few different positives about Brian Gaine being hired. Again, here's my overall opinion. Same old Texans, uninspired. I'll give him a chance. I think we have to give him a chance. That's the only fair thing to do. Maybe it's one of the best decisions they ever make. We shall see. For me, it's uninspiring, and I would have interviewed at least a few more people. But in the realm of being positive in the morning, the first thing is Brian Gaine knows what Bill O'Brien wants, both personnel-wise and I think organization-wise, so everybody is going to be on the same page. Our boss sent us an email last night in which he threw out the idea, you know what? What if this is the kind of thing that makes Bill O'Brien happier as a head coach? Doesn't that have some sort of value? I can roll with that idea, but to take that corollary and to look at it overall, if you have everybody on the same page knowing what they want, not just players, but just the way the organization operates, I think that's a legitimate positive.
Yeah, this is the interesting thing. Just to look at the compressed timeline of all of this, just step back and think about some of this. Brian Gaine left for the Bills under mysterious circumstances.
Yep.
He may or may not have been fired by Rick Smith. Rick Smith may or may not have tried to hire him before he ended up taking the job in Buffalo. And this was all 7 months ago. This was in May of last year. So we can't even really look at the Bills and say that he was involved heavily in free agency, that he was heavily involved with the Bills draft. Even some of the good things that they did last year with the Bills and some of the bold things that they did, he has zero fingerprint on it at all. Like, I'd love to look at some of the things the Bills did, and whether it was, you know, getting rid of Sammy Watkins or some of the other trades they moved, or the free agents, Stephon Gilmore, that they decided to let walk out the door. You know, we could discuss those things, except that Brian Gaine wasn't around. So I don't know what to tell you. Like, what has he learned in the last 7 months that he wasn't worth keeping then, but he is worth now? And the only thing I can say is that if you don't like Rick Smith, then the guy that Rick Smith fired, I guess, you shouldn't. Maybe that's a positive. Maybe that Rick Smith, because you criticize him for letting go of Glover Quinn, for letting go of Brandon Brooks, for various other people that have walked out the door at various times, then maybe Brian Gaine wasn't yet another one of these people that he should have held on to.
Maybe. That could be the case. Other reasons why hiring Brian Gaine might be a positive. He knows the organization. I think in any line of work, I think that there is value in that. Three, he actually does have a sort of diverse football background. If you go, I was going back through where Brian has worked. He's worked with the Texans, as we know. I mean, I'm going to throw out the Bills tenure, but he worked in Miami for a long time. He worked with the Jets. He knows Parcells, Dick Haley, Jeff Ireland, a bunch of different guys.
Yeah.
You know, positive and negative resumes associated with those names. You know, Matt Hammond threw out there last night on social media that working in Miami and Buffalo could be positives because Gaine will know what not to do. I was thinking about that. I don't know if I fully buy into that. You mentioned Buffalo. I'm going to dismiss Buffalo entirely because there's not a lot I can give you out of 7 years.
He wasn't there for like the Doug Whaley nonsense, all of that. Like, it's hard to look at the Bills over the last 7 months that Brian Gaine was there and say that they've had any missteps, really. Other than, what if it turns out that like Brian Gaine stood up on a table and said, "You got to start Nathan Peterman. This kid's the future.
This kid is the
here and now and the future."
Like, by contrast to the resume of Rick Smith, Rick was a guy who had basically, as an NFL person, had only been in Denver. Now, that could be a good thing from a standpoint if you could say, hey, he saw one of the winningest franchises in the NFL. Sure, but that was a team that was already in place, and it was a very specific and unique kind of organization. Whereas Brian Gaine does have experience working with the Jets and Miami in here. So he's seen a lot of different things.
And I think that's important, isn't that, is that, okay, he isn't just a guy that's only been in the Patriots organization and thinks that there's only one way to do it, and that's the Patriots way, and I'm going to go and suck at doing it the Patriots way. He will likely have pulled from a bunch of different people.
Yes.
And I think that's one thing, too. Like, Bill O'Brien, I think, sometimes gets unfairly characterized as a guy who's always trying to do it like New England. And I think O'Brien actually gets a little bit defensive over it just because he actually learned a whole bunch from George O'Leary, too, and looks at him as a mentor. And some of the other coaches he worked for, he's pulled from more than just Bill Belichick. You know, whereas, some of the other guys that have come out of New England, Josh McDaniels specifically. Josh felt like he was extremely just trying to do it the Patriots way.
Yes.
I don't think Brian Gain necessarily is going to be that guy.
Mangini with the Jets as well. You get that sense. The fourth reason why Brian Gain being hired might be a positive, he does not have to do the hardest thing that any NFL GM has to do, find a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. They've got one. He just got to get and stay healthy. So I think that's important. Number five, Brian Gain is from Pearl River. I once took eye training in Pearl River, New York for once a week. And now I look back on that, and I have no idea what my parents were paying for. I don't know if people, this is a random Mike Melter story. You ever have things, eye training? You ever have things in your childhood that you look back on and you're
eye
like...
Eye training?
Eye training, yeah. But I don't have good eyesight. Like,
oh, okay.
I wear contacts. My prescription is like minus
so
eight.
So is it like learning how to focus on things far away?
I would go like once a week or so with my mom, and I'd go to this doctor's office, whatever you call it, an eye doctor, right?
Ophthalmologist.
Whatever it is, yeah. And they'd like put your... And I'd like put my face in this stuff, and we'd do training for like an hour, like following different things and doing all that. And I guess the goal or the quest was to like slow down how bad my vision was getting.
Oh,
but I have no idea if that actually worked or not.
Well, how long did you stick with it?
I got to text my
mom.
That
seems
and ask.
Like something you have to do all
years.
The time.
It was a couple of years, yeah.
Did your prescription get worse during that time?
I think so.
Did you? Were you a big reader?
I guess.
Were you a big video game player?
Kids
are getting nearsighted to an extreme degree now because they got their heads buried in phones all the time. So they're
My mom has horrible eyesight, so I get that from her.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I could have done anything, but that's one of those things I look back and I'm like, what exactly was going on there?
Sometimes my daughter is nearsighted and she's a big reader, so she's reading all the time. But then sometimes I get kind of like defensive about it because I don't want people to think that she's nearsighted just because like she was playing video games all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, listen, I was a bad parent in many respects, and I should have had her, focusing on things away from just the book. But it was like that. It was the old school kind of bad parenting. It was like, oh yeah, you're gonna go read a book for 8 hours and I'm not gonna have to hear from you, go for it. Just go for it.
So you're basically,
which I feel is like a better version of bad parenting than letting her play video games for 8 hours.
She has nearsightedness for noble reasons.
Yeah, no, but I mean, that's the other thing too. It's bogus. I would never claim to be like, I would never be like one of these like, oh, I don't let my kid play video games, because it's really easy when your kid's a big reader. Like she would prefer to read than to play. So I don't have to put up with her. Like if your kid's not a reader, then you got to put up with
you got to deal
with
less
obese.
Yeah.
Or then you got to listen to noise and everything. It's not so easy to take that high road.
So other positives of hiring Brian Gain, you point out it is easier to fire both O'Brien and Brian Gain if you need to in the future.
Right. That was actually one of my listeners pointed that. I say my listeners. One of our listeners, David Wessel, pointed that
he
out.
He only listens to half the show.
He doesn't like sticking on topic.
Okay, fair.
No, so
I mean that makes sense to me. Now we can't.
So
it seems like Bill O'Brien won the power struggle between him and Rick Smith, and they hired a guy in Brian Gain, reportedly, who everybody says is an O'Brien guy.
So
they're on the same
page.
We've
got one of our listeners asking us why we're so high on Bill O'Brien, and I don't understand anything we've said in the last hour and 10 minutes that would lead you to believe that we've just been saying, hey, Bill O'Brien's going to lead you to the promised land. What I'm doing, I think, really is describing the situation to you. You now have a situation where, look, it's Bill O'Brien and his guy. Maybe that's not accurate. Maybe Brian Gain actually does carry a big stick. Like maybe he's actually going to have a whole bunch more power than even Rick Smith did. But I doubt it. I don't. It doesn't seem like that. It seems like Bill O'Brien was very involved in this process. It seems like Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain have been buddies and pals for a long, long time. So that now, live or die, it's going to be Bill O'Brien's fault. And then there you have it. So the question becomes, do you feel confident? Do you feel good about Bill O'Brien, a guy who seemed to have struggled handling both head coach and coordinator responsibilities? Are you comfortable with him having potentially even way more power now in the organization?
Not really.
No. Okay.
But I want to see how it goes. But I'm not that comfortable.
But and then also the other thing, too, is like I have no idea. Like I can't sit up here and tell you that Brian Gain was a bad hire because I haven't seen Brian Gain in this role. Yep. I don't know how much influence he had about various decisions. I do know that Rick Smith at one point wanted him out of the organization, probably because he disagreed with Rick Smith a lot.
Mark Vandermeer will join us in studio coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll go through the first order of business for Brian Gain. If you feel uninspired by this hire, fear not, because this is not the weirdest thing a team in the division has done this week.